Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 in Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Out over the plate, and Dozier hits it into center field. So Soler's hustle to avoid the double play leads to two runs in the first inning.
Oh, it's nailed. Similar.
Right field corner, gone. And Drew took full advantage of that right field corner where the wall comes in. And he goes to the opposite field against Cole Hamels, and the Royals lead 3-0. Salvi launches it to left center field. Gallo is back, still back, gone for a two-run home run. And it is 5-0 Royals in the third inning.
Not really where he wants to put that pitch, but they've been effective. But none like that one.
Wow. 10 strikeouts. So Hamel departs with one out and two on in the sixth inning and 10 strikeouts today.
He's been throwing the ball really well lately. And, you know, what you saw today is what we've been, you know, he's kind of pitched in some poor luck. I guess I wouldn't say poor luck, but, you know, his record doesn't indicate the way he's really pitched.
And now the man who thinks Brian Scalabrine is actually the best NBA player of all time, Cody Tapp.
Right, you are. Cody Tapp here in the program today in for Sorin on this Memorial Day. For all those who served, thank you for your service and for the ultimate sacrifice. We celebrate those today. I thought you could have just done the entire intro instead of playing Royals highlights. And hey, you know, any team that strikes out 10 times against Jason Hamill deserves some attention. And the Royals are now, I don't know if anybody realized this, the Royals are now 13-14 since their 5-20 start, which is pretty much exactly what people thought they'd be, just mediocre, right? And they've been mediocre since they were horridly bad. They started that way, and then things laid themselves out. I thought maybe for the entire, like, of all the highlights, I just thought you were just going to play that kid saying LeBron James over. Like, that could have been the whole thing. LeBron James. It's been the whole highlight package to start the show. We're going to talk a little bit about the NBA Finals. As, I guess, at least the semifinals, since Game 7 took place last night. LeBron James once again finds his way in the finals for the eighth consecutive year. We'll talk about that with Dieter Kurtenbach. He writes for the San Jose Mercury News. We'll get him at 10:25. Then at 11, Matt Verderam on some of the Anthem controversy surrounding the NFL and some of the other things taking place. Not just that. No, we'll get to just that. Matt talks all things NFL. Including, am I the only person fascinated with the fact that, you know, it got put out that the Chiefs had perfect attendance for OTAs? Every single one of their players showed up. That wasn't the case last year. So what the hell changed? Who changed their mind? What changed where? So getting to some of that as well, plus the collusion case for Cap and the Broncos bringing in Sam Hinkie, of all people, right? Basketball analytics guy, Sam Hinkie, making an appearance with the Broncos. So we'll talk with him at that at 11 and then at noon. Matt Derrick will join us in studio for all things Chiefs, and at 1, Matt Derrick will join us in studio for all things Chiefs. At noon, David Lasky will join us for all things Royals. Before we get to the NBA, I did want to—I know you were dying to know what happened in the media game yesterday, and I felt like, I feel like you should at least get a proper update. The Team Lebo won, unfortunately. I was not on Team Lebo. I was on Team Sinovic. We lost 3-2. Although, I wasn't even. I didn't score a goal, but I didn't let one up. So really, it was everyone else that let us down, right? Or at least not everyone else. It was someone else that let us down. Briscoe actually scored a goal and stopped a goal. Both did not look graceful. But both were successful. So I can't, you know, it's not about look. It's about what works, right? If the shot goes in, who am I to say that it didn't function? I mean, it went in. It just didn't look pretty doing it.
I'm not saying Briscoe is actually a better penalty taker than Jossie Zardes, but Zardes didn't make his penalty kick.
And neither did, you know, well, not only that, but like on our team, we had Katie Witham, who's like the Fox Sports 1 sideline reporter for the game. She played college soccer, and she didn't make hers.
They showed it on TV. Was that Robin the goal for her? They showed it on TV, and it was kind of like a little zoomed out. I was like, I think that's Rob. Because Rob, he had a little dive to like punch the ball away.
No, that was Tom Martin.
Okay, it was Tom, okay.
Tom Martin from KCTV5. But still, like, you played college soccer, Katie. We lost 3-2. You're the difference in this game. What a massive disappointment. The other part of it is that, like, and as much fun as it was, because the media game's always kind of a cheeky fun time, and they just played shootout stuff, I really feel like for it to be a proper media game, that drinking should be some facet of it. Like, shouldn't they make us, or at least make us, like, spin around on a bat head a few times? Or you have to, like, when you're in goal, you have to drink a beer before, and they can approach you with the shot the entire time coming into it. Any of those things really check out, is the point. And so I'd like that to happen, please. Make that a thing that took place. But yeah, we lost. We lost. I almost offered up a wheel spin for it, team to team, before. Oh, man, I just didn't feel good about it. I felt like it would have put all that extra pressure on me to make the actual kick. Someone sent me a video, Rudy. I felt like mine could look worse. Like, should I be proud of a shot that was not in the goal, but wide of it? If at least it was kicked hard.
Yeah, I mean, if it looks good, even if it doesn't go back like into the back of the net, for the media game, I feel like you feel good about it. If it looks like a real kick.
I mean, I got it past the goalie. He like fell down trying to block it.
Just pushed it a little
wide.
Like every soccer player do that. Sometimes yes. You know, you just push it a little wide.
And they're professional soccer players. There were missed shots in that Sporting game last night. You mentioned the PK, but there were a couple of opportunities for both teams. Hell, Sporting played a man up like the entire game. That red card happened before half, didn't it? Wasn't the whole game, but that right?
Yeah, like just
40th minute or something.
Yeah, like 42nd, 43rd, right before the half.
Yeah, and then they played a man up the entire time and squandered some opportunities last night. So they weren't alone, I guess, in that. Again, it is Memorial Day. I'll be in for Sorin until 2. Brad Porter at 2 o'clock, right? Just to give you a lineup for the day, and then you can catch Game 7 of the Warriors and Rockets tonight. We're going to get into that with Dieter Kurtenbach. I do want to talk about the game last night because... One, do you realize how ridiculous it is to get to 8 consecutive finals? Just for example, if LeBron James were his own team, like his own separate franchise, he would now, with 9 trips to the finals, be the 3rd highest appearances in finals in team history. Like, in team history, if he were his own team. You realize that? It'd be Lakers and Celtics, 1-2, LeBron James, 3. So that alone should speak to what he did last night. Because that in itself is bonkers. The fact that he would have gotten to that point. 8 times in a row on top of it? Just, I set this out as an example. Rudy, where were you 8 years ago? College? God, where is even that? High school?
Yeah, I would have just graduated high school.
Just graduated high school.
Yeah, because it was LeBron's first year, I believe it was in Miami, it was my first
probably
year.
Probably dating some girl named Brittany you've never heard from again.
Yeah, pretty much.
Brittany, that just felt like the kind of girl's name.
Everybody knows a Brittany. Like, there's so many Brittanys.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It was something like that was the girl you were dating when you were 18.
Mine was Lauren, you know, which falls right in there with Brittany. Brittany, Lauren. Everybody knows Brittany's and Lauren's. Like,
I was so close. That was like right up in that alley. Like when I was 18, I mean, that's exactly it. Like in high school, I did it with Kristen. You know, they're all like, it's all interchangeable, right? All those names just fall into a lump together. 8 years ago, do you realize, like we were talking about the Royals for a little bit. We'll get into them a little bit later when David Lesky and other people come in. 8 years ago, do you know where the Royals were? How about this? Trey Hillman was their manager. Yeah. Trey Hillman was still the manager. Think about how long Ned Yost has been here. Eric Hosmer, you might be like, oh yeah, man. I wonder what he was doing 8 years ago. He had not made Major League Baseball. He was in the minors. He was in the minor leagues. He hadn't played professional baseball the last time LeBron James didn't make a final. Like that, like you've got to put some of this into perspective for yourself. 8 years ago, I mean, I was still, God, was I even at UMKC yet? I don't think I was. Still working for my dad's company? I wouldn't even like heading towards radio, barely. I mean, it's nuts. It's nuts where these two teams, like what he's been able to do with the two teams, right? The Cavs and the Heat. But the idea that you can make eight consecutive, and I get it, like, because I'm not buying into the hyperbole train that is like last minute, be like, this is LeBron James's most impressive accomplishment of all time. And yes, he won a game seven in Boston in a team that was 10-0 in the playoffs. So I'm not trying to discount it. Because it can still be a great all-time accomplishment and not be the greatest accomplishment of his career, right? Because in the end, the Celtics were still missing their two best players for the entire series, right? Both Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. And the Cavs were only missing their best player for one game, Kevin Love, in Game 7, in which he stepped up and did all of that effort and got themselves in that position, and LeBron James completely carried this team. And I'm not pretending that Jordan Clarkson and Jeff Green are some murderer's row of athletes, because they're not. But Jeff Green's a good NBA player. He's been around the league a long time, and veteran teams tend to win. And the difference between, like, you're saying, well, the Celtics probably have better overall talent, because they do. But doesn't, like, if you don't, like, it's the NBA. When's the last non-star driven team that you can remember getting to the finals even?
Detroit's like, because the closest one, maybe?
Who's Boston's star? Tatum? Like, he was like a 12-point-a-game guy for most of the year. Just because he came alive in the playoffs doesn't justify that. Which year did you say?
I was thinking those Piston teams. They were all really, really good.
That's good. Yeah, Rip and Chauncey.
But that's, what, 2004?
That's a good example.
2005? Like, that was like mid-2000s, right? Maybe a little bit later. I feel like it was mid-2000s.
I'd
like,
listen
it's
to that.
It's been, you know, 14 years maybe since we've had that.
Because I'm looking back, like, let's see. Like, last year, it's been, like, I mean, for the last 3 years, it's been Golden State or Cleveland. So we know that they've all had teams. And then, like, and this is to make the finals. So then we know the last 3 years, they've all had stars. Because if Curry, Durant, LeBron, there's been actual multiple on both sides of this thing. Wade, right? And then you go back to, like, Heat, Spurs. The Spurs always had Tim Duncan. So that counts. So Heat Spurs the year before that. Heat Oklahoma City Thunder in 2012. Oklahoma City Thunder had multiple stars, including, again, Durant. Then the Dallas Mavericks and Heat. Okay, that's 2011. Then it's LeBron and Wade. And then on the Mavericks, it's Dirk Nowitzki, who at that time, Rudy, he was a top five NBA player, right? In 2011?
One of the, like, 20, top 20 probably in NBA history, top 25 for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean,
it's like a top 10 all-time score in the NBA, so can't be ignored there. Then you go back to 2010, it's Celtics-Lakers. Both of those teams were full of NBA stars at the time. Same in 08. Then you go back to 07, and it was LeBron James again, Kevin Durant again. Maybe, I'm trying to think about, like, Heat-Mavericks in 06. Anybody still?
I mean, it was
Wade for the Heat.
Shaq was on that team, but that was the starting to decline.
Who was on the 05-06 Mavericks? I mean, Nowitzki would have been.
You had Dirk.
But he would have been earlier, Dirk.
I think Vince Carter.
I'd listen
to that. Or
maybe
he came later.
I don't remember what.
I think Jason Kidd was on that team, too, I want to say. But again, this was like end of his career, Jason Kidd.
But that's what we're talking about. We're talking like pre-LeBron, man. Pre-LeBron run was the last time any team was able to get there. And most of those teams didn't win it. Like the Pistons did. That team was what, as you described, right? And there's going to be some NBA Hall of Famers in there. But it wasn't like, I don't think anybody was like, man, Rip Hamilton's the. Like, these series, like, if it ends up being Warriors-Cavaliers, for example, or if it ends up being Houston, it doesn't matter. Like, if it ends up being Warriors-Cavaliers, you're going to have three of the top five players in the league, right? The Celtics didn't have... I don't know how far down the list you've got to go for number... Like, where they rank in the league for players they put in this, but it's pretty far down. Like, I mean, it would... You'd name five Celtics before you named another Cav, if you're not including Kevin Love. So I'm not pretending that that didn't take place. I'm just saying don't mark it up as his greatest accomplishment ever. Just appreciate it for how phenomenal it is to get to eight in a row. And he didn't have the best supporting cast. I still think that carrying Booby Gibson might be as impressive as Jeff Green. Like, but more impressive than any of that is when they were down 3-1 to the Golden State Warriors, who won 73 games and beat them three consecutive, including a Game 7 on the road. That wins.
That's got to be the most impressive feat.
Unless they win it this year. If they win it this year with this cast against either team that is supposed to smoke them, then okay. And I won't discount the fact that they're not possible of that, because I've seen LeBron James completely just carry completely carry a team. He's just going to go for like 40, 10, and 10 every night.
Each team's kind of got a question mark. Golden State may be a little too injured. Houston, really good team, but again, like James Harden's their only really star player because Chris Paul may not play. So it's like if it's just one star versus one star, LeBron can do enough to win that series.
I just can't even process. Yes, agreed. But if it's that, then fine. Then let's hear the conversation because who's around him? Like, because even in the previous years, because I know he once said that, like, oh, I've never been on a super team. I'm like, what? Like, at the time when it was Wade Bosch and LeBron James, that was three of the best 15 players in the NBA, right? So, yeah, that's a super team. And Kyrie, man, Kyrie was thought of, like, before his injury, Kyrie was one of the best players.
I mean, he had Kyrie and Kevin Love, who, again, at the time, you know, Kevin Love was a top 15 player probably when they traded for him. Like, he was averaging, like, 24 and 18 in Minnesota or whatever, you know? Like, now, it turns out he wasn't all that good because he was just essentially padding his stats. But at the time when they acquired everybody, you had Kyrie, Kevin Love, LeBron. Like, that's a big three.
Yes, absolutely. That's a big three. How could it not be? Love and Kyrie, they traded for Kevin Love because he was thought of so highly. Like, and that's the one thing that I discount in the, like, oh, look what he's doing with this garbage roster. You're like, have you seen, like, their payroll? This is their own fault. Like, it doesn't, now I guess that shouldn't take away LeBron James' accomplishment for who they're taking around, but like, they did this awfully, like, I don't, like, they did this to themselves, didn't they? I mean, am I supposed to feel bad for what they pay some of these players? And they didn't, like, they made it sound like LeBron James made it these 7 games without Kevin Love. You're like, no, he played in 6 of the 7 games. All I'm, you know, this makes me sound like I'm trying to demean his accomplishment.
You just don't like LeBron.
Yeah, just the worst.
Couldn't even get a triple-double last night.
God, couldn't even hit the Vegas over. The Vegas over-under for him in a Game 7 of a playoff game was 38.
That just shows how highly thought of he is.
Really, all it speaks to is just how numb we've come to what should not be considered a standard game for someone. His line last night was like, people were like, oh, okay. And for Game 7 of an Eastern Conference final game, I'm not sure that we should be going, okay. Like, meh, it's fine. Like, I mean, I guess it's okay. Like, I've seen him have better games. I mean, I don't know. Like, had they lost that game and that was his final stat line, people would be like, boy, you know, LeBron just didn't do enough with his 35, 15, and 9. That's what you would have heard. Hell, Skip Bayless this morning was complaining about him having 8 turnovers. You're like, what? Now, I get it. That's his shtick, right? But in a Game 7 in which he's won 6 in a row? 6 in a row, right? He went 35, 15, and 9.
6-0 in the last decade. It's been over 10 years since he last lost a Game 7.
Made Jeff Green look really good. Man, it makes me really laugh. There was an article, it was last year? I think it was written last year. There was like, because it was getting to the point, because one of the questions that will come up inevitably with LeBron James when, like, inevitably, what comes up with LeBron James is the, like, will he stay in Cleveland? And I still think his best chance to continue to win titles is to go elsewhere, although it's pretty clear he can legitimately just carry, like, you and I, Rudy, could be in the backcourt or the front court of a LeBron James-led team, and we'd at least be competitive.
That team absolutely finishes top 4 in the East. And, like,
they're required to give us each 20 minutes a game. Like, we each have to get 20 minutes a game, and the rest are full with regular NBA players, but LeBron James is on the team. That team makes the playoffs. Like, that might be the team that finally doesn't, like, that might be the team that finally doesn't get to the finals. But I'm not even willing to say that if I'm on the team. I'm not even willing to go that far. Because in those 20 minutes, man, they'll definitely put LeBron James on the court, and he'll go all ISO and all spread around. And eventually I'll have, like, all-star coaching. So if they're just decided, like, man, this guy is awful. He's so bad. Like, at some point, they'll just start leaving me open. And if I have professional coaches all the time, I'll learn to hit a jump shot eventually, won't I?
Just leave me open in the corner on threes. That's my money spot. Just leave me in the corner threes.
I don't want to shoot threes. I just want to shoot,
I'm a
like,
corner three shooter.
I just want to shoot, like, 12-footers. Is that so bad? Like just,
but I never leave the corner. Like, even on defense, I just stay in that same corner. I'm just staying in there. Like,
I am not going to rotate. We're not switching on my defense, right? Is that what it is? That team's not the worst, is the point. Right?
Not even close. Like, Phoenix is still, like, that team, that Cleveland team still wins, like, 20 more games than Phoenix.
Oh, God, Phoenix is awful. Well, they're going to get a top pick, right? So, hooray. You're going to get a top pick in the draft, Rudy. What are you worried about? Problem solved. Honestly, just mentioning the fact that Hosmer wasn't in the league to me is enough to be like, I can't understand how this is possible. Like, the next closest, like, Kobe made three in a row. Jordan made three in a row. And if you just want to, like, wipe out his year that he took off from baseball, then he made six in a row. That's still less than eight. It's still less than eight. 8 years in a row is bonkers. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, look back however you want. I'm trying to think about, like, the Chiefs 2010. It would have been, what, Haley and Pioli, probably, with Matt Cassel at quarterback?
Was that the year Matt Cassel went to the Pro Bowl? 2010, I feel like? I feel like that was the year, like, Charlie Weiss was the OC, and they actually were, like, not terrible.
No, I think they made the playoffs in 2010.
Yeah.
Like they got shelled by the Ravens, maybe?
Yeah, I think that was the year, like, Dwayne Bowe had, like, the 17 touchdown catches or whatever ridiculous number it was.
Oh, they did make the playoffs.
Matt Cassel was a Pro Bowler. And you're like, okay, like, this Matt Cassel thing is going to work.
Todd Haley, Scott Pioli, yeah. They lost 30-7 to the Ravens in the wild card. They finished 10-6. Cassel, Charles, Bowe, Waters was still in the league. Like, that seems like a long time ago that Waters was still in the league, doesn't it? Like, when I see some of the names, that's the part where I'm like, holy cow. Like, these are the people that were still playing for the Chiefs at this time? Like, Chris Chambers was on the team. That seems like a different lifetime ago. Brody Croyle was on the roster.
Next thing you're going to tell me, like, Patrick Surtain was still in the league or something.
Oh, God. Maybe. I don't know. I'm looking at... I mean, there's some on here that aren't surprising. Leonard Pope.
The Chris Chambers one is that's a really
yeah,
good
that one.
Yeah,
that one, it felt like it had been a long time ago since he'd been. Mike Vrabel was still in the league. So was Brian Waters. God, that's an impressively long ago list. I mean, that's the point, is that when you look back at what he's done, like, it, like last night, someone like Jason Tatum dunked on him in ferocious fashion in a playoff game, and that never happens to LeBron, to the point that he was like pounding his chest and talking a little bit, and then LeBron James just went full Terminator for the next 20 minutes of the game and completely dominated everybody. Like, they had a moment, Jason Tatum had like a big playoff moment against LeBron James, which does not often happen, and then he just decided to squish them like the bug that apparently the Celtics are. 913-3810-810 is the number. We'll get to your calls a little bit later on this. We're going to talk some Royals and Chiefs as well today. Matt Derrick and David Leske in studio. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Dieter Kurtenbach of the Mercury News will join us. Talk about the Game 7 tonight. You'll hear here on 810 is plus, you know, I'm sure he'll have something to say about LeBron James and how ridiculous he is. So we'll do that next here on the program. I almost said the wrong show.
The program.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Continue our NBA discussion to start the show as Game 7 of Cavs and Celtics. Probably one as we all should have expected. It's Dieter Kurtenbach of the Mercury News who joins us to talk about tonight's Game 7 as well as, I guess, last night's too, Dieter. Why do I ever doubt LeBron James for even, like, 4 seconds? Why do I ever think for a minute, like, oh, no Kevin Love? Clearly the Celtics are at home. They're going to find a way to win this. Now, why do I even do this to myself, Dieter?
I don't know. I mean, you have enough evidence at this point to know that that's a bad bet. Always a bad bet. I don't know if it's a bad bet in the NBA Finals, no matter who makes it there, to play the Cavaliers. But last night it was a bad bet, and I could have told you that from a mile away. You got to call me up before these things, man.
I didn't place a bet on it or anything. I wasn't that crazy. I'm not like, all right, I'll take the Celtics. No, I'm not.
Then you really didn't believe it, did you?
Yeah, that's it. That's probably true. The second I'm willing to actually put money on it, that's really the proof of I actually feel actually on my show, sometimes we have like a wheel full of punishments. When we're super confident on something, Dieter, we force ourselves to put a wheel spin on it. And I did not put a wheel spin on that. So my level of confidence in betting against LeBron James was low. Although, I mean, I don't know. I felt like the Celtics had a pretty good thing going there long enough that I thought they might make it different than that. Was it just like after the Tatum dunk, then LeBron James just decided to go Terminator, or was it always going to happen?
Well, you give a lot of credit to LeBron James because he deserves every bit of that and more. Also, the Celtics showed that they were kind of not ready for that
sure.
moment in the way that they played down the stretch. I don't know. I don't know how much of that is the give of LeBron James or the take from LeBron James. It's LeBron. He deserves it all. But man, they so many ill-advised three-pointers. They stopped giving the ball to Tatum. Marcus Smart decided that he was the greatest player on the planet. It was pretty rough for the Celtics down the stretch, whereas LeBron just did what LeBron always does. And that's the thing with Game 7. They're always rock fights. They're always, who has the best player on the court, essentially. And the Celtics, it's great and free-flowing more or less for 40 minutes comparatively, actually, to what's going on in the final eight or so. But when it's pucker season, LeBron James knows how to handle those situations, and Celtics have two rookies, a backup point guard, Marcus Smart, and I guess Al Horford on the floor. That's not exactly a lineup that you're expecting to take down LeBron James if that game is close late.
No, and Morris, by the way, I remember you mentioned him. He doubled down on his statement about trying to be the best player on the court, saying he deserved 12 to 14 million. Is that the number he said?
Yeah, that's he said he deserved more than that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So how could I argue? So do I. I mean, let's be honest. We all deserve that.
It's personal. It's how much you personally think you're worth, right?
Yeah. Well, good for him. I hope he gets it somewhere. And I think he'll really enjoy, his time in Charlotte or with the Atlanta Hawks. I think that he'll do great there.
Oh, God, no. Just stay with the Celtics. They've got so much talent and more coming. Plus, LeBron James, I guess the question inevitably, Dieter, will always be at the end of this thing, is he going to stay in Cleveland or not? Are the finals results going to determine that in any way, you think? Or is it just going to be like what situation sets him up best?
I don't know. I don't think anyone knows, including LeBron. I've always been in the camp that LeBron stays in Cleveland and that he signs a big old deal and extracts as much from Dan Gilbert as possible. We'll see how that goes. I have a hard time seeing him coming out to the Western Conference. I have a hard time seeing him, play mercenary and go on one-year deals. I don't see him going to Philly. But I don't know. Anyone who says they have a good read on this is lying. That's the cut and dry of it.
The Celtics, I guess, going into next year, if you're just looking at them before I ask you about the other series, they've got to feel at least somewhat hopeful, right? All they did was lose to LeBron James.
Yeah.
Like, join the list.
Yeah.
Like, and they did it without Gordon Hayward and without Kyrie Irving, both players expected to be back next year. So at some point, they can feel a little bit good about themselves, can't they?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, there's going to be a sting, no doubt. But that sting shouldn't last very long. This team is going to be very good for a very long time. Jason Tatum is a superstar. Jaylen Brown's pretty damn good, too. You're going to get Kyrie. You're going to add two all-stars to a team with two, really great young talents, with Al Horford, who, as soon as if LeBron does go west, the guy who's going to be celebrating most is Al Horford. And a bunch of nice role players and a great coach. Like, this team's set up. And, the Warriors didn't really have to do this, so maybe they've kind of skewed the perception of what, needs to happen to kind of get to that championship level. But you have to put in your licks a little bit. You got to take your licks a little bit. And getting to Game 7 against LeBron James with this ragtag crew, in a way, with all the youth and inexperience, is an incredible accomplishment. And it's not one that you can rest your hat on and say, okay, that's as good as it's ever going to get. Like, this is now the new baseline. But I don't have any concerns that the Celtics will make the finals next year. Like, I'm penciling them in right now because there's no reason they shouldn't make it. They're going to be a lot better next year. They're going to have more talent. Oh, my goodness, the amount of talent they have coming down the pipeline. Jason Tatum's going to get a little bit better. They have a chance to be really special here. yeah, it's a great time to be a Celtics fan, even if it wasn't last night.
They got two first round picks in 2019 too, so yeah, that's fair.
Jesus, right?
And at least one of them, at least one of them, Dieter's probably going to be a lottery pick because it's the Kings' pick. How could it not be a lottery pick if not top three, right? So on top of it, they just get to load up again. I guess a lot of NBA teams in that situation, though, they use those picks as currency to get veteran players, don't they? I mean, that's usually the move.
Right. Right. But now that we're seeing, you know, with the max value of contracts going up, the value of getting a young superstar and drafting right and getting a guy who fits your system, going out, like, how much more valuable is Jason Tatum than, you know, a
Kawhi
max player like Paul George?
Sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, Paul George is better than Jason Tatum right now, but, like, in 2 or 3 years when Jason Tatum's still making only, you know, $12 million or whatever, I'm not sure what the salary structure is, and Paul George is making 35, like, yeah, you're going to rather have Jason Tatum for your team. And it's not as if you have, you know, you're going to lose him because you couldn't re-sign him if you wanted to. The value of a rookie deal is incredible. We're seeing it in the NFL and in the NBA. It's true, too, in the Celtics. They saw it coming from a mile away, and they've taken full advantage a couple of times now, and they're going to do it a couple more times. And look out. This could get dynastic fast.
Let's talk about the game tonight. Obviously, we'll hear it here on our station here at 810. We'll hear Warriors and Rockets game 7 for them as well. It's been the first time since 79 since we got two game 7, so I'm really excited about that possibility. And last night was a good game up till the last, 4 minutes when the Cavs kind of took over.
I loved every second of it.
No, it was great. And tonight, presuming that we get the best version of these two teams, which we can't because the Rockets and Chris Paul still looks like a dicey situation, none of these games have been particularly close. It's like one team has just taken their run and the other team hasn't. And in the last game, it was a 17-point lead for the Rockets that turned into a 30-point lead, a 30-point win for the Warriors, which is insane, but also not, because that's kind of what the Warriors are, Dieter. Like, that looked like the Warriors to me. Does that seem right to you?
That seems about right, yeah. We've been doing a lot of hand-wringing on this beat about, well, okay, you go through Kevin Durant in the isolations, and that's sort of the best way to combat Houston's super-switching defense, but then it's kind of rote and formulaic and predictable, and Durant hadn't been making his shots, so then you go back to the free-flowing, you know, hyper-movement offense of Stephen Curry, or is that the best route? Because that can create a lot of turnovers, and the mismatches might not value the Warriors, and we're just like, it's a Durant, it's a Curry, it's a Durant. The answer all along was the bridge guy, Klay Thompson. It seems so obvious now that was the answer after game 6. But he's the guy who can create space that Durant doesn't have to worry about double and triple teams, and he's the guy who can create movement off the ball with his own movement in some ways for Stephen Curry's offense. He can bridge the gap between those two players who have somewhat of diametrically opposite offenses so far in this postseason. That was the Warriors at their best. When they're playing through Klay Thompson, as strange as that sounds with the other two talents, when they're playing through Klay Thompson, they really get a lot of things going, and they're kind of at their full versatile best. I don't know if that carries over into Game 7, though, because ultimately, all these Game 7s, as we found out last night and we've known before that, are kind of rock fights, and it comes down to who can execute best in the half-court offense. The games always slow down. It's always pucker season. If the Warriors are looking to get that flow going again, they're going to have to establish that really early and then maintain it for 40-something minutes, because the last guy that you want to be going up against, in theory, and we'll see if this comes into practice tonight, because he does fade in pretty much every game that he's ever played physically, but the last guy you want to be going up against if you need to just execute in half-court offense is James Harden, because he's the master. And the Rockets have run one play this entire series. It is get James Harden isolated against the weak link of the Warriors' defense. And this Warriors team is not exactly deep right now. They're playing some non-shooters with a bunch of shooters, and they're playing Nick Young good minutes. They put Quinn Cook on the floor to take the biggest shot of the game in game 5. He was on a two-way deal. It comes down, I mean, the Warriors might be top-heavy, and they might have 4 All-Stars on the court, but it comes down to who that 5th guy is, and James Harden's going to take advantage of that 5th guy time and time again. It's going to be, you know, very opposing styles. I think this might be the most interesting game we have yet, just because of the stakes of it all. And it probably comes down to the Rockets' best guy versus the Warriors' fifth best guy and how that matchup goes.
Well, and you mentioned that sometimes the best player on the court, in the case of the Celtics and the Cavaliers, it's pretty clear, right? LeBron James is the best player on the court.
Oh, yeah.
When you're looking at, you know, Harden versus Durant or Curry, depending on how you rank these guys, it's kind of splitting hairs, isn't it? I mean, I think Durant is the second best player in the league, but somebody else might tell me that it's Harden, or at least the way he's playing right now.
Yeah, I mean, in part, this is something that I've said for the last couple of games. Okay, Chris Paul's out. It's really nothing the Rockets can do about that. It sucks for the Rockets, no doubt. It sucks for basketball fans. It sucks for the Warriors that, if they win this series, it's going to be viewed skeptically. No one wants Chris Paul out, literally nobody, save for maybe the most diehard and cold-hearted Warriors fans. ultimately, James Harden is going to win the MVP award. And I would sure like to see him carry his team to the NBA Finals. Like, he can win the MVP twice over if he just has a game. If he drops 45 and drags the Rockets into the NBA Finals over this Warriors team that everyone expected was going to win the championship two times over themselves. That would be one hell of a story, one hell of a narrative. Hasn't happened yet, though. We look back at the last couple of games. You know, Harden was fine, I guess, but he faded in the second half of Game 6. Chris Paul had to save him in Game 5.
Yep.
I was talking to some people before Game 6, and I go, can you remember a single game, much less a series, because it goes the same way, but a single game where James Harden hasn't started off strong and then faded down? He just depletes himself of energy, and he has nothing in the tank for the fourth quarter in any game. And ultimately, with Paul out, that makes it even more difficult because they just don't have that second kind of smoke. That said, this Rockets team has shown a ton of heart, and it's kind of the last thing I expected from them in this series. Their fight back in Game 4 was totally changed the complexion of this series altogether, and maybe they got a little bit more of that. This is a different breed of Rockets, but I need to see it from Harden in Game 7. If he does that, man, that conversation about who the second best player in the world is, I bet a lot more people are going to start saying James Harden.
Jeff Green was kind of that, like, who's going to pick up the slack if Kevin Love's out? Who is that for the Rockets, I guess? With no Chris Paul, who do they need to have a big game opposite? Because it can just kind of be Harden, but somebody else has to play well. Who else is?
Yeah, it's Eric Gordon, and Eric Gordon has played pretty damn well these last couple of games. So that's a good thing for the Rockets. Ultimately, Houston, we know what Houston's going to do. We don't really know what the Warriors are going to do, but two things that, factor in. The Warriors essentially conceded home court advantage to the Rockets in early March. They just decided that the gap was too big. They were too injured. They weren't going to go for it. And the Rockets would have won it anyway, but the Warriors wanted to make it very clear that they were giving up. And they might regret that now, because two things that play a role in any home game, particularly home games of really important, tense contests, are the whistle and role players. And role players always play better at home. And that's certainly been the case with the Rockets in this series. So guys like P.J. Tucker and Trevor Ariza, they're going to just knock down shots that they just did not knock down in that Oracle Arena. And Eric Gordon, kind of not a role player anymore with the injury to Harden, but still, he qualifies under that. And the other thing, too, is the whistle. And if James Harden gets tired, we saw this in Game 6. It was kind of gross and unsporting, but he just decided he was no longer, or it was, sorry, it was in Game 4.
Four.
He just decided he was no longer interested in shooting field goals, and he was just going to go to the line. Like, he had no interest in actually shooting. He just wanted to get fouled and shoot free throws. And the Warriors gave it to him. And the big number to look for with the Warriors tonight, if they foul fewer than 20 times, they win. They've won every game they've fouled fewer than 20 times against the Rockets in the series. When they foul more than 20 times, they've lost every game. And that's the difference in having the home court whistle, which always comes through no matter how unbiased these refs want to be. It happened for the Warriors in Game 6. It will happen for the Rockets in Game 7. If that whistle comes through on the Rockets end, that's a really big thing, not only because, it has to just essentially be Harden, but because, it gets the Warriors into foul trouble and it further taxes a team that's just not very deep right now.
Who do you like tonight?
I like the Warriors, but I am skeptical of.
You're not putting money on it, is
that right? No, one, that'd be horrifically unethical, but or unethical. I'm not sure which.
Since you're covering the team, yes.
Yeah, that'd be bad. That'd be a bad look. But at the same time, you know, if I were to advise somebody, I would say take the under. And and you know, I the Warriors are 6-point favorites. I wouldn't touch that line with a 10-foot pole. I have Warriors 104-97 in this game, but man, I just don't trust a single thing out of this team right now, because as you saw, they can fall behind. They fall behind by 17 again in the first quarter. They're not winning by 30. That means that, you know, it's sure. going to be, they're going to have to fight back just to get their head above water. And, you know, home court is just going to play a huge role in this game. I have no doubt in my mind about that.
Last thing here, Dieter. We're speaking with Dieter Kurtenbach of the Mercury News. He's joining us to talk about the NBA Finals Game 7 tonight. But I was told that I might get a good story or two out of you. So you might not know this, but Jason Whitlock used to work in this town, this very station. And you were tweeting out, like, Whitlock stories and his time at Fox. And so now I want good Whitlock stories. Yeah. Do you have a couple of these to offer me before we go?
I'll give you the good one.
Okay.
I'll play the greatest hit. You might have already seen it, but I was actually in the city I'm in right now, Houston, Texas. We were all about to get fired from FoxSports.com so that we can continue to pay Jason Whitlock's outside salary, and I was. Oh my goodness, how do I put this in appropriate and fast context? I was there, and I had to, against my will, interview all of the FS1 personalities on their Super Bowl pick. Oh. I go up to Jason Whitlock and ask him for a Super Bowl pick. He brushes me aside. And I just kind of kept an eye on him because he was kind of mean about it. And I see him wearing his patented now fedora, trademark fedora, over a trash can, just ralphing down a chicken Caesar wrap, just going to town on this thing. I saw it fall in. He was going so fast that it fell in along with the hat. And he picked both of them out and continued his day, including just kept eating the wrap, which, yeah, I saw that trash can. I would not have eaten out of that trash can, but he did. So
he went full Costanza? He ate trash food?
Yeah, he ate trash food.
Oh, no. No, he...
Yeah. He shouldn't have been so mean to me. I honestly would not tell that story if he wasn't, like, I disagree with pretty much everything that he says these days, but, like, I'm in the industry. I get how it goes. He's playing a character. Best of luck to him. But if he wasn't such a prick, like, I wouldn't tell the story, but he was, so I do.
Yeah, his time in KC didn't end in glowing fashion either. If you're looking back at some of his greatest hits, like him passed out on that couch, that was in our building.
Oh, nice!
That was right here at
8:10. So he could have passed out on a couch in Houston. I just didn't catch it after the trash thing. I was so horrified. I think I ran around the building 10 times outside.
Did you ever get his Super Bowl pick?
No. I'm sure he would have made it some, you know, ridiculous thing about how liberals are ruining America or something. I don't know how that has anything to do with football, but it seemed like that was the tangent he was on.
That would have been the play. All right. Well, at least we got at least one good Whitlock story out of this, Dieter. Eating trash food for all the listeners out there. People in Kansas City appreciate hearing back from old friends, right? It's just going back to hear from old friends. Dieter, I appreciate the time. I guess have fun at the game tonight, and I guess we'll find out. Are you covering the finals either way? You think you'll be there, or is it only if the Warriors are there?
Oh, my God. If the Warriors don't win this, I'm going on the longest vacation ever. So, no, I will not be covering the finals either. I mean, I'll be watching it, and I'll be very happy to watch every minute of every one of those games, but I will not be flying to Cleveland if I can help it.
You win either way, man. You win either way. Either you get to go on vacation to a place that is not Cleveland, or you get to at least stay where you are and watch the Warriors play. You know, at least you get to see the Warriors try to complete their dynasty run of three of the last four, which
we'll see how it goes. But how do you know? I mean, sometimes I do vacation in Cleveland and Houston. Oh, wait, no. The last two places.
Has anyone
ever vacation?
Yeah, I've been to Houston Pass. I've never been to Cleveland. I'm not trying to get there.
It's fine. I'm actually not disappointed about going to Cleveland for the NBA Finals should the Warriors win. But, yeah, you're not vacationing on the shores of the Cuyahoga River.
No. Yeah, so it turns out. Appreciate the time, Dieter. We'll catch up again here soon. Thanks so much.
Anytime.
Dieter Kurtenbach of the Mercury News. Always a good time. God, I'm talking about Woodlock eating trash food. You ever eat food out of the trash, Rudy? Not even my own trash, man. I got to let it. Not even my own trash would I do that to.
No. That's just, it could be perfectly still like in a box or a bag. And I'm
with
still
the
not like messing with it.
It's Costanza with the eclair. It's literally that. Except for, I guess his had a bite out of it. So it was his own food. It's slightly, God, it's still bad. It's so bad, and yet so entertaining, and I'm humored by it in a thousand different ways. We got to get to a break. We'll come back. We'll finish up hour number one here of the program. Then we'll come back. Matt Verderam will be here at 11 as well. So we'll finish up. We'll react a little bit to what Kurtenbach had to say here on the program.
The program, weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Finishing up hour number one here of the program. Cody Tappan for Sarin Petro. We're here till 2 o'clock. Then Brad Porter will get you 2 to 6. Bringing you live programming here on this Memorial Day. We're in the Rally House Studios. We'll be joined by a couple of guests in the Rally House Studios a little bit later on in the day. You'll be able to catch those up on Facebook Live, right, Rudy? Yeah. Good adults.
Doing our job.
Doing our job, doing stuff, right? Whatever. I mean, that's
not mailing it in today, even on a holiday.
No, I'm here for the full 4 hours, and my foot feels okay. I was a little bit worried it was going to be like a disaster. Walking back to the car last night after running around in those cleats in that media game, I was not feeling good. I've been having some nonsensical foot issues, Rudy. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm broken. Being old sucks for a thousand reasons. That is just one of them. The other is, like you mentioned, you're like, you're talking about like taking a nap after this because you don't have any kids or responsibility. Maybe you're single. I don't know. You are? Oh, man. We should.
All the above.
I feel like we should definitely do a segment where you let me choose your Tinder date. I'll be nice. I mean, I won't just like, you know, I'll look for someone that has interests like you. You like sports. You went to Kentucky. You grew up in this area, right? Trying to think about what else I know about you. You seem, I mean, you're a journalism major, right?
Yeah.
So you've got that background.
I like chill people.
You like chill people?
Yeah, people who don't like freak out over every little thing.
Okay, so you like to get high. Got it. I'll look for someone in that, for Tinder. I mean, I'm only just taking a shot here. That's all. Fine. Chill people. I mean, Memorial Day is perfect for you, man. You go sit by the pool.
I'm a big, just kind of like, kick my feet up outside and just like lay there and just do nothing. I like to go out
have
and do
a
stuff,
corona, as
like,
this show would say. Have a corona, as this show would say, right? That's fine. It's okay to want to do that stuff. Like, I don't like big crowds of people. Like, I don't want to do that. Anybody want to do that? Who's your pick for tonight before we switch over to football?
Golden State.
Same. Mostly because I bet against LeBron last night, and that's just stupid. I'm not going to bet against the other team I shouldn't bet against. That just doesn't make any sense. It's no good at all. We'll come back. We'll get to some Royals talk here in a little bit, but when we come back here in the program, Matt Verderam on some of the Anthem stuff, plus where the other teams are in the division next year in the program.